We're going to jump right into Scripture today. Let's turn to Genesis. Pretty easy book to find. How do we find Genesis, kids?
It's on the first page.
Well, you got contents and all that, but yes. It is the first part of the Bible. So we're going to do Genesis 4, 8 through 12. Genesis 4, 8 through 12. Are we there?
Yes.
Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. The Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, being Cain, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Now, there are a lot of things that we could discuss based on those five verses. But I want you to ponder just for a moment. And I think it'll be especially easy for you, Amanda, and you, Michelle. But I want you to ponder just for a moment something it doesn't speak to. How do you think Eve felt when Cain murdered Abel? How do you think Eve felt? Imagine you are her. You love your children. You deeply love your children. You have never, and this is very important, you have never experienced human death, let alone the death of one of your children. Now, not only are you forced to deal with the loss of your second son, but he was killed by who? Your first son. Can you imagine the heartbreak she had? How Eve felt? We might see it. Might get a glimpse of that grief and anguish and how she named her next son. So in Genesis 4, let's just look at verse 25. I shouldn't have closed my Bible. Genesis 4, 25. Are we there? "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth, for she said, 'God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him.'" I don't believe those words encapsulate the extent of the pain Eve felt at the death of Abel and at the righteous banishment of Cain, but don't they show how she missed Abel, and don't they show how she was constantly reminded it was her other child that was responsible for it? How would you feel in that situation? I think anybody who has lost a loved one can empathize. Death is destructive, not only of the one who dies, but also of those who are left behind. As hard as it is to believe, death does have a positive side, if I may be allowed the liberty of using the adjective positive. Every death, every single one, is a teachable moment, whether the death is that of a kind, loved family member or of that of an evil, hardened criminal. Every one of those deaths is a teachable moment. And today we're going to focus on three things we can learn from each death. There are many more. We're going to look at three. The first comes from Genesis again, turning a couple chapters earlier, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Genesis 2, 15 through 17. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Not long after we read those words in the Bible, we hear the serpent tell Eve that she won't die. And foolish, deceived, selfish Eve trusts the devil, distrusts God, eats of the apple, and Eve doesn't die. Nor does Adam when he partakes of the forbidden fruit. What gives? What gives? God said you're going to die, and they didn't die. Well, starting with Abel, we learn the truth of God's words. Sin kills. Sin kills. In Abel's case, sin killed via murder. But as we've seen over and over, it kills every one of us sooner or later by natural causes or otherwise. I was reminded of this recently as I continue to read through all 66 this year. Do you remember these words from 1 Kings 2, 1 through 2? When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man. Although David was a man of war, he didn't die on the battlefield. David, a man after God's own heart, had reached the natural end of his life, and before giving Solomon fatherly advice, notes that he, like all the earth, was going to die. Or as Hebrews 9:27 says, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, it is appointed for man to die. We all die. And not because God kills each one of us, but because God wasn't lying back in the garden, and sin kills. So lesson number one from the teachable moment that death brings is you can trust God. You can trust God. The devil assured Eve she wouldn't die. God said otherwise. Who was telling the truth? God. You can speak up, honey. You're always right. Unless you disagree with me. Which, no, I'm just kidding. Right. The devil assured Eve she wouldn't die. God said otherwise. God was telling the truth. So lesson number one, you can trust God. Okay. Even though there is a reason for joy in knowing that we can trust God, we are still at a pretty depressing point in the sermon, aren't we? Not only do we know that we are personally going to die, but we are also aware that before our demise, death is going to separate us one by one from those we care about. So let us look at some happier words by reviewing 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 53 through 57. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 53 through 57. Electronic Bibles, people get there a lot faster now.
You said it was 1 Corinthians chapter 13?
15. 15. 53 through 57.
No.
For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are those depressing words? Not at all. Thanks be to God. When Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross, he was confirming that he had done everything required to defeat death, to destroy death. That is why in Revelation 20, verse 14, in part it says, "Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." I want to repeat that. Revelation 20:14 in part says, "Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." It is also why one chapter later, the book of Revelation says, let's turn to that together. Revelation 21, verse 4. Revelation 21, verse 4. I was just going to read it, but this is one that I hope that you will mark in your Bibles and return to as you deal with what I said before, watching one by one those you care for pass into eternity. Revelation 21, verse 4. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be" what?
No more.
No more. Exactly. Death shall be no more. "Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." So to keep Revelation open, I think we're going to go there at least one more time. What is the second lesson that we can learn from each teachable moment death brings? Jesus has defeated death. Jesus has defeated death. Now that may be hard for us to comprehend, as we are surrounded by continual, prolific death, not only by that of those near us, but we are bombarded with it via the news and like social media, Lily. Terrorist attacks, tyrannical governments gassing their people, natural disasters killing those who have no way to protect themselves from the elements when weather is extreme. Even with all that, the fact remains, Jesus has defeated death. And there will come a day, a glorious, blessed, welcome day, when death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. Death will be swallowed up in victory. To wrap up this sermon, and to find out the third lesson that we can learn from each teachable moment brought to us by death, let's continue in Revelation. We read about the lake of fire that death is thrown into. Remember that? Death thrown into a lake of fire. And we read how death shall be no more. Let's take a look at Revelation 20, verse 6. Revelation 20, verse 6. And this kind of stuff is proof that Revelation is just not a bunch of symbols and dragons and stuff, although it's still symbolic. Revelation has some really important theology in it about death. Revelation 20, verse 6. "Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection." I should have said it differently since it has an exclamation point in my Bible. "Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Blessed are those who share in the first resurrection. We might experience the first death that Hebrews 9:27 spoke of, but does the second death have any power over us? No, not at all. But sadly, that is not true of all people. Instead, if we turn to Revelation 21, verse 8, Revelation 21, verse 8, we learn, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." That lake of fire, that lake of fire that destroys death, is also the second death we all avoid. However, Speaking of also, it is the fate of the wicked. Death will be no more. But I think we will all agree that we are more worried about the second death than the first death, aren't we? Don't we worry more about the second death, which divides the wicked from the righteous, than the first? So how do we beat death? The second death, that is. How do we beat it? Well, let's look a few verses before what we just read in Revelation 21:8. Let's look a few verses before that and find out. So this is Revelation 21, 5 through 7. Revelation 21, 5 through 7. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." We defeat the second death by drinking the free water of life, by becoming adopted sons and daughters of the Most High. So what is the third lesson from death's teachable moment? We beat the second death by willingly, freely drinking from Jesus' spring of the water of life. We beat the second death by willingly, freely drinking from Jesus' spring of the water of life. Yes, you can trust God. Everyone dies. Jesus defeated death at great cost. We beat the second death by willingly, freely drinking from Jesus' spring of the water of life. Will you choose to drink? This past Wednesday, I received an email from Augie's teacher saying that Angie, a beloved co-worker at the Strasburg Elementary School, had lost her battle with brain cancer. The note in part said, "Parents, there are many different ways to show grief. Some students go on with business as usual. Some prefer to just stay quiet, while others remain to cry." We know from the shortest verse in the Bible, which is John 11:35, we know from the shortest verse in the Bible that Jesus, even though he knew he would defeat death, Jesus knew he would defeat death, even though he wept. He wept at the death of his friend Lazarus and the pain those left behind felt. And from that, we also know that we are not saved by an uncaring Savior. Instead, the one who defeated death weeps as we weep, grieves as we grieve, loves as we love. You can trust God. Jesus defeated death. We beat the second death by willingly, freely drinking from Jesus' spring of the water of life. As we remember those three lessons from the teachable moment each death brings, we pray for Angie. Let's now pray for those whose love for Angie mean that they now grieve, that they now weep. And let's praise God that someday, and I pray someday soon, death will be no more.